Sahe. Most righteous and loving Lord Jesus, we have come together one more time in this little spot that you have so graciously provided. And it's not just the geographical aspects of it, Lord, that you have, we feel and believe and we praise you. Lord, I hope we do. That you have put a spirit upon this place of love for one another. But above all, oh Lord, I hope we love you. And while we know we're not deserving of any favor or any time or sense of affection from you yet, you love us freely. And we feed our fears, our apprehensions, and our prejudices and all manner of things, and we measure others against ourselves, and that's a great sin against you. But I ask you, Lord, that you would bless us to grow into that grace that you so richly provided, and grow in the knowledge of that grace, and that thereby our praise and adoration for you will become increased more than what it should be. I thank you, Lord, for these faithful saints who have, Lord, responded to that little desire that you've placed in their hearts to be here this morning. And for those that are not, reasons vary, Lord, that you are aware of every one. And I ask, Lord, that you would rekindle the desire and those of our number who are not here, and that we would be blessed to all come together in one body with one purpose, and that is to worship you. I ask you, Lord, these favors, and we make these acknowledgments to your name's honor and glory. Amen. Turn to number 603 in the old school hymnal, please. 603. It's been a long time since we've been here.
Oh, Thank you.
156. Show me, show me, my faithless love to thee,
you know. Surely come. Yeah. Go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our most righteous and loving Lord Jesus, we bow one more time in your presence, and we thank you for your sweet mercy and love and grace to us, and that you have given us such a wonderful provision. And Lord, you have brought us together as individuals that we might, Lord, hopefully, stand as one in spirit, not in perfection of behavior or character, except your character. But we pray that we would stand together in one spirit and one faith. And that faith would be fixated on you, and that elemental faith would create in us behavioral faith. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless Brother Tommy as he comes before us this morning, and I pray that you would give him liberty of mind and liberty of speech, and dispel every fear that he might have, Lord, of men and institutions or whatever, but that he might boldly, for your name's sake and for your honor, proclaim the blessed truths of your word. The names that have been mentioned here this morning, Lord, and the problems that people are suffering and encountering, we just pray, Lord, that you would look into those according to your righteous will. The names that have been lifted up in the past, and whether it be sickness or whether it be loss of loved ones or whatever it might be, Lord, we know that none of these things are bigger than you. And we know that you can give us peace in our spirit, a peace that passeth all understanding. And that when these things come into our lives, as they do so often, that we would be able to say, the Lord is my helper and my keeper. And Lord, we hope and pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to offer up this morning the acceptable sacrifice of praise, that which is a sweet smelling savor in your nostrils, and that consists of the thanksgiving of our lips. Not only for how big you are, but for how small we are, to your name's honor and praise and glory, do we pray, do we speak, and do we worship. Along with asking, Lord, the forgiveness of our many sins, we come to you this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Brother Tommy.
Your office doctor told me not to wear a watch, and I've tried various pocket watch and even a cell phone, but I was afraid somebody would think that I was really looking at the tech. So there are a lot of things that distract time. Usually I'm within a limited amount of time, a lot of time. But when the Lord shuts it off, it's time to shut up.
Yeah.
And I have found that out. And my fear is that the human part of me will fail. And the spiritual part, there's no doubt about it. If I can rest in the Spirit and speak God's Word, that's satisfactory to me, and I believe edifying to all of us that love the Lord and want to hear what's there. And my thing, well, we can't come from, it hasn't been many years ago, but in fact, I've been in the stand with 10 preachers at, you know, the race area. And all of them got up and spoke. The first one that got up and spoke, he was a little fellow from North Carolina, big meeting. And he spoke about 20 minutes, and I'm thinking, oh, there's 9 left, and that's a long time. And used to 3 or 4 would take 3 or 4 hours. But he got to the point, he said, well, I guess I ought to quit. And then he paused for a little bit. He said, well, nobody said anything, so I said that. Nobody said go ahead, so I said that. But it was amazing. We all got through because we understood that there was the Lord's time was his time, and we were to honor him and his blessings. And I thank you so much for your prayers and your welcome and Mary Jo and me in here. The scripture, you know, we were strangers and you took us in. And I have so many things that come in my mind when I say something. That's one thing, probably living older, is you find these things that you can relate to, and it kind of slows you down. I have to be careful. So I'm apt to maybe say something from one perspective, but not necessarily meant to be funny from one sense. So I'll try to refrain from anything like that. But don't pray for me. Thank you for the prayers already, and anticipate what the Lord will do, because I don't know. Maybe here a couple of minutes, maybe here for the whole time. But when it's time's up, and then it's time to. Well, but I did want to say, you mentioned so many things, the prayer requests, and I did think about them. In addition to the difficulty of hearing, I have a hearing aid. And, but there's a fellow one time, a teenage man, he was a boy, he was going out on a date, didn't have any money, and his father had a hearing problem. He walked up to him, he said, Pa, I said, I need $5. And he said, hey, come around here where I can hear you better. And on the way around there, he thought of something else he needed. He said, Pa, I need $10. Paul said, well, come back around to my $5 here. I believe I can hear you better. So that's the way I am sometime. When I got tested and found out I needed a hearing aid, and he said, well, why do you think you need, or why do you think you're having a hearing problem? And I explained to him. He said, my wife says things I can't understand her. And he said, well, he said, are you complaining about that? I said, no, I'm not complaining. But I want to look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 just for a little bit, and the Lord, unless we move on from there, I'll try to do that. And this is, Daniel was receiving inspired dreams and a word of God that was to be penned down and to prophesy what would be taking place. The time that was spent up to that time, the Israelites had fell into a difficult time of, like so many times we do in our lives, we maybe get to a low point and we go down and we bottom out. We go down, and I like to think of it as we come down off the mountain, down into the miry clay and down into where the richness is, and dwelling in places that the animals come to drink, and other people depend on the water that's there. And I enjoy thinking about how wonderful it is when you come back down off of that mountain, that you've got to go down into the mud and into the working and the hard things to do in this world's life. And when we get there, there is sufficient fertilization that comes down from that mountain, the wash off of that mountain, is there to make things grow and to hear the things of the community speaking. I love to come to this little church. It's just, we have looked forward to it. I've never been to a church that has felt that we have felt so welcome in, and to be a part of the congregation, and to hear the word of the Lord proclaimed over this pulpit, and to hear the prayers lifted up. And Daniel was a man that could explain things to me. It was difficult to understand a lot of the things he said. A lot of things from Revelation, which is a difficult chapter to comprehend, and without the Lord's help in any of it, especially in those things of the types and shadows that we refer to many times. You know, you see a type of something. You see something that is like something, but it's not that. It's something that would symbolize that. And the shadow being something that you, that's cast of the real image that is there. And you know, without the sun, either S-O-N or S-U-N, you don't see the shadow. But the understanding is that there is a sun, S-O-N, that God has provided for us an eternal salvation. And that song that I called out, when my heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like trailing on. This place that we come down to the valley to where we can get refreshed to climb back up again. And if you've ever had problems with that, you feel like it's unworthy of something, and we express that in the spirit, I mean in the flesh, in our mind and emotion and will, we are not worthy. But God, in His mercy, gave His only begotten Son that we would have that mercy upon us, that we could have the Holy Spirit, which don't have to be ministered to by the flesh. We don't have to get our spirit right. We have to get our, we strive to get our body, a mind, motion, and will to where it is obedient to the Spirit. The Spirit don't need, the Spirit is God. It's God. One reference to God is what the Spirit is, and that guides us, helps us to understand, directs our path. And so many times I've heard a scripture that I would think, now, it was an amen. Amen. And I don't believe I heard Brother Bill preach, but I'm sure it's the same blessing to be standing under his voice where God speaks to him. My wife speaks to me sometime, and it's God's will, I mean God's blessing that she speaks to me that way. And one fellow referred to the wife as a heavenly sandpaper. Well, the church is somewhat the heavenly sandpaper that we are kind of get polished as we go along. You put put somebody in a place where they need to make a decision about something. It's good to have a little bit of help, especially when it involves them. The fellowship of the church, the joy that comes by being able to fellowship and shake hands in love and sincere ways to do it. And I want to tell you that if there were no sinners here, there wouldn't be any use for that. There was a comedian one time said, he was talking about the people going around saving people, and he said, well, what's the devil going to do? What's the preacher going to do when the devil's saved? Well, we don't have to worry about that. God, the devil knew that there was a God. The devil knows that there's a God. Because he said, thou believest there is one God, thou believest there is one God, the devils also believe and tremble. Now, I've had a little fun with that. Some folks come around and witness and tell me, and I'd listen to them, and we have an agreement. I'd say, well, now you talk, and I'm going to listen, and when I talk, I don't want you to interrupt me either. I knew what they were after, and they didn't know me unless they'd been there before. But when I hear the saving part of it, I said, well, you believe that anybody that believes in God will be saved? Well, yeah, I believe that. Well, I say, well, then I quote that scripture. I believe that there is one God. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, we should tremble in the presence of God. Yeah. The old priest, when they went in to give the sacrifice lamb or whatever they sacrificed, they trembled when they went in because one mistake and they'd have to drag them out and they couldn't walk out. God take care of that. It was a fear. And I'm glad that God gave us these things. But I want to read this. I don't want to get off on something that I want not to. But he says here, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the destitute. The desolate. Now, I know I read a lot there that you may not be familiar with what it means. I'm familiar with what I believe that God has given me to see that, but I see he's talking about Jesus coming. He's talking about the Son of God appearing as a man in the flesh, not God being as in the flesh, but a man being in the flesh. The seed of woman with the blessings of being able to obey God and to be singled out of all the women. I don't know how many women were there, but this one that he chose, and then he's in to choose the business, and it's not for me to argue about, well, he made a mistake. If you remember going to school, I know you would, probably. It wouldn't be much different here than I believe it was at home. Boys would get out and play ball, or girls, I don't know what all they did, but we'd get out and play ball. We'd have two guys, and we'd say, okay, you're going to be the captain. You choose a size. Well, you wanted to get the best first. You wanted to get the one that you knew could hit the ball, or throw the ball, or catch the ball. You wanted to get them, and then you had some left over, usually, or maybe an odd person. And I wasn't always the first one, I'll put it that way. But when I would think of that, and I think, now this little fellow, he's little, but he's one of us. And we'd find a place usually for them. They didn't have to be left out. God does the same thing. He is the chief counselor. He's the captain. He is unlimited in his power. He's unlimited. I don't need to tell you. I know you've heard that. I've heard Brother Dennis preach, and I've heard different ones talk. I know you believe that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is that. But there's none like him, nor never will be. But he still deals with people like me. And I want you to know that if you you know me as a sinner because you believe that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which the Scripture says. We have done that. There has been times in my life, as I believe maybe in some of you, that may not have been a terrible like mine, but anyway, that things happened to you that you felt like, well, there's no hope for me. There's no way that I can overcome this. Well, I can't. But there's one that died on the cross that can and did, and he always will, those that are his, cover the sin. It's difficult to go through the day without thinking about what a blessed Savior we have. Amen. To be able to reach down and pick us up out of the mire clay and set our feet on the solid rock, as the Scripture says, and give us not just a drink of water, but fill us with oil and with of gladness and the hope of salvation, the expression of what his word means in their heart, in each one of us's heart. And God is one that has provided current situations from the past to the present to the future. And I love to think of the word is from the standpoint of being current. It is daylight outside. It is comfortable inside. It is my desire to please God. That's present. Although I fail many, many times, and I still will. But when God spoke that to the old time, the people of the Old Testament, when he said is, it was as current then as it is now. When Jesus comes, this is the Christ. That was what was said there. He is still the Christ. He's not going to change. He's part of God. He's one of the manifestations of God, God in the flesh, being our Savior. He is our Savior, and he is the one that died on the cross. And we're to die daily as we is to him of what he is to us. And I like to tell a little tale about it. I know Brother, I've told Brother Dennis and Brother Bill this, but I love it so much, the story. It's funny, but it means so much to me to feel like what I'm fixing to tell you, the little one. A lady had a bunch of children. I don't know the story. It could be true. It could be true. You know children. Well, one of the younger ones had got into a bucket of tar and got the tar all over and just messed up in his eyes, in his hair, and everywhere. And the mama tried to clean him up, got kerosene or whatever she could find to try to get him cleaned up. Finally, in desperation, she said, "I believe it's easier to have another one. I just get rid of you." That's the way I feel like, God, I'm thankful that God didn't say, "Well, I'll just get rid of you and make another one." He's capable of doing that, but that's not what his chosen pleasure was to do that. In reading that verse that I just read, Daniel prophesying that there would be a week, I'm kind of bringing some stuff together. There are many places in the Bible that it talks about what these situations are. And when we have someone that is a kind of a type and shadow of something coming, that we can understand that man was given that by God, and if it was pinned down under the direction of God, it was expired to him, exhaled to him, to where he would become alive and be able to write that. And we being able to inspire God's word, we could breathe that into our being, and it agrees. And you probably know this, but I'm going to say it anyway, that if God made a statement like in the Old Testament, it stands just as true then as it does now. The blessing that we have and the joy we have is to know that we as individuals can make decisions. Sometimes our decisions is contrary to God, and He has a way of letting you know that it is contrary, but He also offers a way that we can understand what our wrong is, and He tells us how to do that. The Bible is full of places where we talk about what's been done and what needs to be done to make amends for. Our Lord and Savior is our captain. He is the one that's the head of the church. He's the one that directs these things through the love and mercy and grace that comes. And we are blessed to be able to look in the New Scripture, in the New Testament Scripture, and find where He says that, because it's pinned down, His words. And I don't want to get into my experiences, because you've got experiences too, and you probably have experiences many that I have. But in the New Testament, Jesus came to those lowly folks that didn't have any place to turn. They didn't have a position in that. He came also, he came in many places, but his first approach was to the Jews, to the Zion. We call it Zion, church's name, Mount Zion, various places, and Zion's Hill, Zion's Rest. But they're a representative now, a symbol of what was taking place in the Old Testament as far as the law being finished by Jesus. Jesus came as a human being in invisibility. We could see what Jesus was, or they could see, and we have images of what somebody else saw. Fans, they'll have that. Michelangelo and others portraying things and doing beautiful paintings, but yet they can't duplicate the spirit. I've got a book that I've read several times about it includes in there something about the DNA and how that was developed and how it ties things together. And as the man that was writing it put down many things about the DNA, and he described how man has gotten the information, knowledge, to know what part of the brain functions to manage what part of the speech and the movement of arms, the automatic movements, and all that's been identified. But when he gets through with all explaining all that, he said, "But they can't find God. They can't find God in that brain." Because God is there, doesn't mean that He is, and invisible don't mean He's not there, but they can't find Him. And I'm grateful that I believe I'm among folks that believe that God created the heavens and the earth and all things within it, including man and woman, in His method and way of doing it, that He has put us together as symbolic of the church, a man and a woman together, symbolic of the church, that they're to be together in one of them, being one accord, to be loving one another. And I love to think about Paul's writing in First Corinthians chapter 13, they call it sometimes referred to as the love chapter, because charity has been translated as love. But I want to go just a little further in my thoughts about that. Sometimes I look at a word, I see other words in there. I see in that word charity that what we cherish. Now, I cherish my wife. I love a lot of things, but I love chocolate. Those things I say, I love chocolate. I don't mean that I cherish it. I love it because it tastes good. I love going to church. I love it. I cherish going to church. I love God. I cherish God. Those things that we have that we draw nearest and closest to us, we cherish. Now, that's my definition of charity. And with that being within us, we cherish being able to give to somebody else and being able to take part in what we have, to share in communion, share in foot washing, share these things that are there. That's the substance of charity, that we are ready to fulfill what God has told us to do in His way and His attitude of things. But I want to just kind of highlight from Matthew chapter 20 over to about verse 23 or 4, I believe it is. This is in this chapter, Jesus is going before the church and the apostles teaching them what's to come from there. He was also as a savior, a prophet, a priest, and the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There was none like him. There will never be none with like him again. There has never been one except Jesus Christ that was buried and raised from the dead on the third day after being buried. If I'm not presenting this in a way that you're not following me, I'm sorry, I'll try to improve. But if you're following what I'm saying, if I'm communicating that, then I want to go just a little further in a few minutes. But this in chapter 20, it's talking about the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a house builder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers. Now, there's many things that can be said about that. I heard one preacher, some of you may even know him. By the way, the first day we were here, brother came to church here. Brother Dennis was talking about Elder Leslie Brinson. He is the one that baptized Mary Jo and I back in the salt water or brackish water in the Banana River down in Vero Beach. And he is also the one that started calling on me. So you go back to you, brother. If it's a mistake, go back to him. Brother Chris is dead now, a fine man. But we love him. And brother Bill and brother Dennis have the same disposition. And that disposition is a reflection of what's within them. And I'm thankful that I've had the experience of being able to marry Jordan. They hear him talk a little bit. But he talks about the kingdom of heaven, and he said what it's like. He compared it to a vineyard, and he went out to hire people. He told them, I'll give you a penny. I don't know. I have no idea what the penny was worth back then, but Rupert Nobles one time was preaching at our church in Perry, from Perry, and he said in my margin, it said whatever, a nickel or $5, whatever it was. And there was another preacher there that he followed him. And after church, well, the other preacher come up to me. He said, Brother Tommy, he said, Brother Rupert was wrong about that amount of money. He said, my Bible says so-and-so. And I thought, well, I said, well, Brother Bert, that's not the point. The point is that the man hired him. The man went out and said, this I'll give you a penny. It don't matter what the penny was worth. It's what he said. Jesus says it, and it's the truth. And he chose those men to come, bringing it back to that vineyard owner, went out and hired him and said, come in, I got to get these grapes in. I don't know what old pitch he did, but he hired him. I guess it's kind of like a day labor thing. But then he said the last ones had maybe worked 1 or 2 hours before the end of the day. He said, I give you all of me. He said, I give you a penny. So they come out and they take all the grapes and for a day's work and they come back in and he called them first. He called the one he paid first, if I remember right. He paid them first and the ones that come in had worked all day, which, I'm sorry, he paid the ones that came last. And he the ones complained about it, it was first. And he said, well, didn't I tell you I'd give you a penny? Yeah. Well, and he called them evil. He called them evil. I don't know if I understand all what that evil word meant at the time as you, but I know that I'm thinking now, that's not fair. You know, these guys labor all day. It's not fair. It's not me to judge fairness. We don't deserve fairness. We deserve what we oftentimes get. Sometimes it seems like it's unendurable, but when it comes to those kind of things, we're to be, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, about love or charity. Charity suffers long as it's kind, does not exalt itself. That it was patient. And I will tell you, you mentioned the other day about memorizing scripture, that I had, I was trying to memorize scripture. My goal was to memorize chapter 119 of Psalm. That's the longest song, the longest chapter in the Bible. And then I was going to start in Proverbs from memorizing Proverbs. Well, it didn't take me long to realize that if I didn't rehearse those every day, just about, that I'd lose it. And I had to travel a lot, sometimes 3,000 or 4,000 miles a month in a territory, going down to Miami, up to various places. And I would use that time to memorize scripture, which I thought was good. And I left Fort St. Lucie, where we lived, about 50 miles down to North Palm Beach, which is, you got the Palm Beach, North Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, all these things, they're all together. And I got off the interstate and I headed east on this major east-west road. And traffic was heavy and I'm in there and I'm in the inside lane and on a four-lane street. And I was like, love is kind. It does not, it believes all things, hopeth all things. And then I got down to the point to where I was getting right on down there, and it said, then I was saying in my mind, is not easily offended. That's why that way. And about that time, this lady, she pulls over in front of me, cut me off. And I'm telling you, my thought changed in a hurry. But I went over to the right side, and I said, Lord, forgive me. And that was, to me, was a good way to teach. So here I'm putting all this together. I need to be living it instead of just putting it there for memory. It's good. It's good to understand scripture. But I'm kind of getting to a little point here where Jesus, in his talking, he was a plain talker. When it came necessary, he could tell, and I believe he's a plain talker today. He may do it through somebody else. He may do it through an example. He may do it. How many does it? You accept the fact that Jesus knows what he's talking about. But he went on in here in this chapter 20. And to talk about how that, let me get back there, I turned away from it too quick. But he paid them off, but the example he gave was a type and shadow of what was to come. Several things that you could think of what was there. When Jesus died on the cross, then there was a gathering of people. And when he died on the cross, when God chose his people, and the scripture tells us that he was not one to be a particular choosy about. However he chose, he did it before anybody could interfere with him. And then when it comes to, he made the world, all these things, and he said, let us. There was more than God, the singular God. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was there. And he says, let's make man in our own image. And it goes on to explain that. But he didn't say, let's make this guy a little higher than what's there. That he said the heavenly things that I can read and hear and understand these things that somebody is saying, and when they tell me that I either a big blast came and God just out of all this devastation that would have taken place if whatever was supposed to explode, I know because of experience, if no other reason, that God can do all things. He can do all things. He can do however He wants to. And what we understand, as growing up, the teacher taught a little bit about evolution, but we usually didn't believe it. We didn't think she did. But I got to think a lot of ways. You know, why, if it's the Big Bang, you know, you don't take order out of disorder and lay it together and to make something so precise that you can predict to the second what's going to happen in the future. And you see it come to pass. The things that happen in this world that we know has going to come about is because God allowed it to come about. When He set nature in motion, though the tide could come on a certain distance, He created the clouds. He created all these things. And the more I know from the secular knowledge about the world, physics and all the things that I have been exposed to. I don't say I know, I've been exposed to it. But I do know if you're traveling somewhere and you get off course a little bit, there's something going to draw you back in. You better have something to carry, a map, or I like the GPS. I just love to use that thing. Sometimes it's wrong. But I've had various ways I refer to that. I like the word God's special. God's provision is special. That's what he provides. But there are things that we have to depend on of what happened. I was in a conference one time where a captain from, he was a scientist, was explaining what was going to happen. It was a top secret thing and it had to be way out, away from everybody else so they couldn't, nobody hear it, guards around the building. He's in there explaining to us how the shuttle was going to be used to launch satellites for the GPS system. And after about 4 hours, it kind of makes me think about some kind of preacher that just don't have it. And that could be me, I guess. But trying to explain something to that, bring it down to my level, we could understand. There's about 100 men in there, and some women too. But that we were so awed because he used words that we never heard of before. And couldn't imagine what he was saying. We turned each other. What do you mean? And that frustrated him. And he was trying a little harder. And when he finally got to the point where he said nanosecond, I said, I was lost. We weren't supposed to talk about it. This was all past. It's not top secret anymore. I wouldn't tell you. But when he got through, we didn't know really much more than what we did to start with. The first shuttle hadn't been launched. All this was a believing this going to happen. Well, we have, the parallel that I see of that, a type of shadow, an analogy, that we see what God reveals to us. We know what He shows us, and we can frame it as our own. It says that in Deuteronomy 29, I believe it is. What He reveals to us is for us and our children forever. Whatever Brother Bill or Brother Dan, anybody that says things that are of godly nature, is for us to know and understand. What He don't reveal to us is those secrets. One of them that they were asking Him questions, why they were asking Jesus questions about, was when was Jesus coming back after He went through to explain all these things, that He 3 days He had to, He would go and He would be raised up as Jonah and the whale. And all these things would take place, but He was explaining how these things would take place. And they wanted to know. They wanted to show the miracle. They wanted to see these things that entertain and fun. I like to play tricks on people and ask questions that they don't know and not to be a smart in it because this is a joy to me. But when Jesus told them, He said, nobody knows when the time will come, not even the angels. Only God knows. Now, Well, God knows in the future what's going to happen, and I've had people tell me that, well, you know, I talk about predestination or election, well, they say, well, God looked way down the road and knew you was going to be a good guy. That was as wrong as it could be, and I already knew that because there's no way in the world. I tried to be good. Sometimes I'd be good for 15 minutes, maybe, I guess, if I was asleep. But when Jesus talked to him, he ran across the ones that were selling sacrificed animals in the temple. He found them doing all these things, and he walks in. He goes up and he preaches his last sermon in the temple, and he's in there and he's calling the scribes and the Pharisees a hypocrite. Now, woe unto you. If you look at that, you'll see where he's you bad folks. I can't tell you if they were children of God or not, but they sure weren't setting examples, and Jesus told us as apostles. He says, listen to what they say, but don't do what they do. They were doing many things that were not representative of what Christ came to save us for, that they were not acting like a church that was concerned about something. They had divisions within the church, and as I was saying about the hierarchy of people, we have by leaders, by vote, and by appointment, sometime by resurrection, that there are people become in charge of something. But if there are leaders, we have a responsibility to support and to guide, to listen to and follow, as long as they are in God's will and God's direction and under His character when he's doing that. But when they get to where they don't, there's a time to defy.
Yes.
You know, we've reached that, I feel like, in our nation. But when Jesus talked to them, he told them that the apostles were there with him, and they were hearing all those instructions. And he went in, he preached his last sermon when he was there. And after he told them, he made a whip. I'm just leaving. Some people don't believe he struck anybody. I happen to believe he might have. My father, he was not very patient, and it didn't take him long to get mad. But I knew when he said something that I better be on the move. But when Jesus says that something, we better be on the move also. There's no excuses. And there's a blessing that we can get out of that. But after he was there, and I'm fixing to close this, I believe, but after he had come out of the temple, he was there with the apostles, and they were mesmerized by the building. I've seen some pretty places in my life, traveling around and seeing on TV, just mesmerized. I like architect, you know, I like to see, and then I get to think, well, how did they do that? And, well, I get that now, and then I wonder, well, where did they get these artisans from? All these worldly things that you see with the eye, and the scripture says that the evil things is the lust that comes from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those three things you can't see. You can't see pride, you can't see lust, and you can't see the pride. Well, you can see, but you can see the consequence of it. And Satan used that on Eve when he said, do you see this fruit? And he said, yeah, I see it. Well, the eye has seen that. And she saw that, and she says, he made the statement that God, you really won't die. Well, those things that he was saying to her resulted in the lust that she wanted. She saw the fruit, she wanted it, she got it, and then the pride, she felt like she was as God, as Jesus. I mean, Satan still tries to do the same thing. And the only defense we have for that is that we have Jesus, as it talks about the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the shoes, feet charged with the preparation of the gospel of peace, feet, and God's Word. Now, God's Word being our sword, that we move forward with that. Without that, without being able to move, we would be there. The only armor we had would be no advantage, because the enemy would overwhelm us completely. But in this chapter 4, I'm going to read here just a little bit, I'll be finished. They said, and Jesus, when they left the temple, it says that Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, these shall not be left here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. That was part of the prophecy that Daniel was talking about, that this temple, what they had, even back in the very beginning, the Babel, the Tower of Babel that was erected, the people, the world, wanted to overcome God by making a tower to him. Well, they didn't understand that God was not the one that was... God made the stuff that they used to get up there, but they didn't ever find him because he said that he wouldn't be seen. But when he got to this point where he says that this will be torn down, and they didn't understand that. They said, well, you mean to tell me that all this labor took and they kept adding on to that? It took a long time to build that where it was at that point. He says, all this will be torn down. His body was what he's referring to as in Jonah, the 3 days in the belly of the whale. That's not a place I aspire to see, is inside of the belly of the whale. And I feel like I have felt like I'd be better off in the belly of the whale to never resurface it that I did in my mind. But thank God that I look at it in a way now that's very pleasant to think about. The example, the type and shadow that was there. And there's the blessings to know that God had prepared this case for him. God has prepared for us a body. Not like this one so much as a spiritual body, that we will be like Jesus and we will be no more neuropathy, no more hearing problem, and all these things. That's the body we have now. It's subject to what's going on in the world. The COVID, I don't have to completely explain that to you, I know, but when we have things that distract us and cause us to be drawn away from God's Word, staying away, and even failing to study, failing to try to find out what's more, that's against what God has told us to do, both in the Old and New Testament. Well, when Jesus got to this point, he says, and he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and for the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, when we go about and we hear things, and sometimes somebody pick up on something, listen to the radio, watch TV, and these things of the thousand-year reign. I'm sorry if I offend anybody that believes this, but if I offend you, that's okay. But if it's what God says, you better listen to what God says in his way. Just as the beginning of time, he did all those things. Ahead of time, he didn't have to ask anybody about it. When he comes back and receives us up into heaven, and that's also what Daniel was talking about, what I read, that when he receives us up, as we believe that because he said it for one thing, and another, we experience it, when we know that when we die, that we have a better place to go to, that we have a place in heaven that's there. When that time comes and he calls the dead in Christ with him, there's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a rising first of those that have died. Those are going to come up. That's the talking about the parable that Jesus used about the vineyard. That when we are raised up, those that are dead and the ones that are still alive shall see him see him come up out of the grave. But I believe in my heart we'll be looking toward Jesus, our Savior. And some say, well, if he comes up in the east, he better be in the east. In fact, there's things like that. When Jesus comes up, I don't care where he's standing. I believe that I'm going to see him. And I believe that because the Scripture says it. And if I believe that Jesus is our Savior, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe he stayed in that grave in 3 days or 3 nights and got up resurrected on the third day, and he ascends up into heaven. If I believe that, that's just as current to me as those that witnessed it there. And if I don't believe any of that, then none of it counts. But we have that in what we can read and understand. We have the prophets that said that. But when he came and fulfilled the law to the jot and tittle, and then he was raised up, and his church followed, he gave instruction on how to do that. And may God bless you. Thank you for your time. You will continue to pray for me.
heard is that God so loved us in Christ that He makes special provision for us while we're here on this earth. Because we're as Brother Tommy so adequately put it, we're going to be beset on by trouble from the day we're born to the day we die. But for those that the Father gave to the Son from before the foundation of the world, He also provided for our mutual comfort and happiness and peace. See, when we're raised, as He alluded to there just a minute ago, when we're raised in the likeness of Christ, we won't need these things. Because we're going to be raised in the glorious perfection of Christ. But the message is, until such time, we have needs, we face trials, we fail. But there's a thing called the church that He's given to us. Peter, as Brother Tom was preaching there near the end, and you go read 2 Peter chapter 1, and he says, he talks about how we're blessed. And he said, according as He hath given to us all things which pertain to life and godliness. Well, how do we know about these things? They're given to us in His words, Old and New Testament. First, the promise, the types and shadows, and the speaking of the promise, and then in the New Testament, and the coming of Christ, the fulfillment of those things, and as Paul said in the Hebrew letter, concerning the types and shadows, he says that they were types or evidences of the truth. And so we have those things, and as Brother Bill some years back preached, most people have it backwards. And Brother Bill made a statement that if you don't understand somewhat of the Old Testament, you can't understand the New Testament. Most people reverse that, but I believe that was true. But we have these evidences, and I'm thankful that Brother Tommy, I can tell he was overjoyed to talk about it. But when they're up there and the things keep coming, sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. But the Lord's able to take the things and bless them to our hearts and to our hearing. And I'm just thankful for the message. I'm thankful for Brother Tom's willingness to minister to the saints. And it's simple. It's simple. Let's see. You got one of mine, Ben.
106.
Fellowship one with another while we sing this song. And we state it. We don't always verbally publish about the door of the church, but the door of this church is always open for the reception of members if any of them desire to make a home with us. 106.
Thank you.
Continue to pray for this little place and one another here, and those that are sick. But let's not limit our concern for the people here. And we've said this here before. Sometimes we get offended in various ways from actions and words of others. And it's impossible for you and I to obey what our Lord commands us in our own strength. It's impossible. And I know that there are things that I personally would not be able to overcome and stand in obedience to the Lord, except He provided what I need to do that, and He's good. He's been good to that end. I remember we'll close with a word of prayer, and anyone who needs to leave, it's alright. We'll take this as a very short intermission, and we'll have a very short special conference. We'll be here with me, please. And look righteous and loving. Lord Jesus, we thank You for that Spirit that You have so graciously poured upon this little place. And I hope, Lord, that we're able to comprehend to some degree what a marvelous thing that is. And I ask You, Lord, that You would help us to realize the many ways in which You've blessed us through the process of growing up into the knowledge of You and the knowledge of those things. And we just ask You, Lord, that You would continue to bless us here. Lord, we pray that You would cause our focus and our purpose to be to just obey You and to worship You in the way that brings You honor. And we pray, Lord, for Your people everywhere, no matter what name they call themselves or where they may be in philosophy or whatever, Lord. If the Father gave them to You, then they're Yours, and they're just as precious in Your sight as we are. And we pray, Lord, that love would flow over from You into our hearts and into our minds and our thoughts and our perceptions. Not that we would say, it's okay when we do evil, but Lord, that we might be able to say, even though from time to time evil overcomes, that we love Your children anyway. And I just ask You, Lord, that You would guide us in the ways that we ought to conduct ourselves. And Lord, please forgive us when our own pride begins to take over and we begin to dictate the way of the principle rather than looking to You to do it. There's so much that we ought to pray for, and there's so many ways in which we have failed You. We just ask You, Lord, that You would be merciful and set our feet on the right path. We pray these things for Your honor and glory. For Your blessed name's sake, do we ask Your favor. Amen.
Amen.